Okay, we're holding on an Aleph Amud Beis, six lines, or seven lines from the bottom. Metzor Yomtiv Chola. Mishnah described that at Metzor Yomtiv, the night after Yomtiv, they would go and they'd set up things for Simchas Beis Sheva, and in particular the Mishnah had mentioned that they made this Tikkun Gadol, this great improvement, which the Mishnah didn't say what the Tikkun Gadol was, it just said Mesachim Sham Tikkun Gadol. So you might say, my Tikkun Gadol, what was this great improvement? Amar Rav Elazar, ka'oitza shashaninu, we can understand it from what the Mishnah says in Midos. Chaloka ha'oitza barishayna, the walls of the Ezes Nashim originally were smooth. There was nothing sticking out from them. Or some Gersaris in the Mishnah over there are barosha, that originally the top of it was smooth. Anyway, v'kifur gzilstara, and they surrounded it with balconies. V'skinu, and they made a takana. That the women will sit up on top on the balcony, and the men will be on bottom. So this is this and the next few lines of the Gemara. Yeah, is where we get much of the halachos of mechitza from. Yeah. Tarana, bottom we learn in a brayso. Barishayna hayu nashim mevifnim va'nashim b'chutz. Originally the women were inside and the ezras nashim, and the men were on the men were outside. The problem was, in the day Kalus Rosh, but they were coming to levity, to inappropriate behavior, because there was the wall of the Azara, there was the wall of the Azara separating them, but for example, the men who are going to be performing, who are going to be singing and dancing or whatever, thoughts pass through into the center of the Ezes Nashim. So therefore, there was,
Would go on the sides?
I guess not. The women were probably all around, filling up the Ezes Nashim, I don't know. So they said the other way around, let's try the women outside, the men inside. But even so, they were still having a problem with Kalas Rosh, because still, the women have to still, the men still have to go in, passing through the, So they made a takana that the women are going to be on top, on the balcony, completely separate, and the men are going to be on bottom.
That's also where the, I think a little bit of uniqueness of what 770 has a different entrance that women and men don't have to be so close to.
Yeah, many, many shuls actually have that kind of thing, separate entrance.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Including this shul.
The ideal, and many classic shuls have a balcony for the women. Nowadays, in many shuls, they don't. They just have a mechitza. Which gets, it gets into the question of exactly what's needed as a mechitza. Anyway, I saw a cute story where Rav Moshe Feinstein held that a mechitza does not have to be all the way, like it doesn't have to be 6 feet tall. It's enough, for example, if it reaches like shoulder height or something. Even though people can still see each other over the mechitza, he held that's good enough. The point of the mechitza is not so much that nobody can see, that the men and women can't see each other, but that they don't mingle. As the Gemara is saying over here, because after all, in our Gemara over here, the men can still see the women up on the balcony and vice versa. So the story goes then that one time Rav Moshe was visiting somebody to be Menachem Avil, and the Satmar Rebbe, the old Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yoilish, came there also. And two great people like that meet, of course, they start talking in Divrei Torah. Until Rav Moshe points out, wait a minute, we're in an Avil's house, should we really be talking Divrei Torah? So Rabbi Yoilish turns to him and he says, listen, the oval's on that side of the table, we're on this side. According to you, a table is enough of a mechitza, so he's in a different place than us. I cited it in one of the books that I was preparing with. Point is, obviously, he meant as a little bit of a joke. Not really hurtful, but just a gentle ribbing kind of. I mean, the Rebbe also didn't hold of this of Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe wrote in several letters to people that a mechitza, properly speaking, should be 6 feet tall.
6 feet is how many?
So it's not a matter of tefachim. It's a matter of practical matter that this way unless a basketball player comes to shul, then
When did the Rebbe take this?
Based on the idea that it's not about a mechitza. The question basically comes down to, is a mechitza meant to separate the genders, or is it actually meant to prevent them from seeing each other?
It's to separate
them. Yeah. So, Imar, hechi avid hachi. Now, how could they do such a thing to add a balcony, which was not part of the original blueprint of the Beis Mikdash? V'aksiv, the pasuk says, hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskil. Everything, David says to Shlomo, everything in writing is from the hand of Hashem who gave me the understanding. So every detail, all the details of the construction, all the blueprint of the Beis Hamikdash was specifically told by Hashem to David. So how can they add something new? They found a pasuk that indicates that you have to separate men from women, and therefore they based on that they said, you know, it's true, it's not part of the original blueprint, but we have no choice, we gotta add it anyway. What is the pasuk? The pasuk says, it's pasuk in Zechariah, the safta ha'aret, the land will mourn, mishpacha, we'll talk about soon what the mourning is for, mishpachas, mishpachas levad, every family by itself, mishpachas beis David levad or nashem levad, the family of beis David will be alone, will have their own area, and their women will have their own area, and continues with other families. So each family that it lists over there, it says the men and then the women, separately. Now, Omru, so the Chachamim said, well, then we have to consider, based on that pasuk, let's make a kavachomer. This pasuk in Zechariah is talking about, it's part of the nevuahs of Zechariah that are talking about Mashiach's times. Sha'oizkin behesped. First of all, they're in a sad situation. They're having a hesped. They're having a public mourning. The Ein Yetzirah sholet behem, and the Yetzirah is not in control of them, first of all, because when a person's in tsar, then it's less of a time when Kalos Rosh takes effect. And second of all, Rashi says, we're talking over here about Mashiach's time. The Yetzirah is going to be gone. Vasi Rosh Yisleiv Evan. Nevertheless, Amra Torah Noshem Levad V'Noshem Levad. Nevertheless, the Torah says that the men and women have to be separate. Achshav Shasuk from the Simcha. So when it comes to Simcha's Beis Sheva, where they're involved in Simcha, the Yetzirah Sholet Behem, and the Yetzirah is still in our world is very much active. Alachas Kama V'Kama. How much more so that you have to separate them? There's also the famous thing they say on this, based on one of the psukim in Psukah Dezimra that we say every day. Bachurim V'Gam B'Sulois V'Kenim Im Na'arim. So you have the Bachurim and the Solois separately. Then you have the Kenim Im Na'arim, the elders together with the youngsters, but not Bachurim Im B'Sulois, because that would be inappropriate. So we might ask, Ha Hespeda Maya Vite, what is this Hesped for? This is the Safta Aretz. What are they mourning in Mashiach's times? Pligibo Rab Dosev Rabbanan. So Rab Dosev and the Rabbanan argue on this famous thing. Chad Omar Mashiach ben Yosef Shenerag. One of them says they're mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef, who's going to have been killed. So this is the famous thing. We know that one of the scenarios for Mashiach coming, it doesn't necessarily have to be. In fact, the Rambam doesn't mention Mashiach ben Yosef in his description in Hilchos Malachim, but one of the famous scenarios of Mashiach coming is that there's a Mashiach ben Yosef and then there's a Mashiach ben David. That Mashiach ben Yosef comes, starts the process of Geula, gets killed, and then Mashiach ben David takes over and finishes things off.
Did we reach that stage yet?
That's a very good question, and the truth is I don't think there's any consensus about it. There is, I'll tell you, there's a few different interesting things about it. There is in some sidurim that have kavanas api kabbalah. It's brought, I think, in the Bracha es Tzemach, that there's a phrase over there that you're supposed to have in mind to daven for Mashiach ben Yosef that you shouldn't get killed.
Are you sure, right?
I think so. I think, yes. So on the one hand, there's that. There's also the Ramchal quotes from something based on the Zohar that nowadays we're past that situation. We don't need to have Mashiach ben Yosef die. But there's all kinds of other ideas behind it also. I think there's an explanation that somebody gives that collectively all the Jews have been killed throughout the generations collectively make up Mashiach ben Yosef. There's also the idea that not necessarily the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David have to be two actual different people. It could be one person, the final Mashiach, who had either in an earlier stage or just who has in him both of those qualities. Just like we'll talk on Amud Beis about the different qualities of Mashiach. So you can have that the person who becomes the actual Mashiach Vadai ends up having the qualities of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And like I say, on top of that also, I mean, the Rambam doesn't bring any of this, which implies it's not necessarily required l'halacha that there be a Mashiach ben Yosef before the Mashiach ben David. So yeah. Anyway.
It also not as much go closer to the mitzvah kind of thing.
To the what?
The school kind of... I don't
okay. So one is for Mashiach ben Yosef, who's killed. V'chad ramal yetzahara shenerag. The other says this morning is for the yetzahara that's killed in Mashiach time.
That's a nice one.
So Gemara says v'shleim lamando amal Mashiach ben Yosef shenerag. Okay, we can understand if we're saying that it's that the crime for Mashiach ben Yosef haynu duchtiv. Well, that's what the pasuk continues, or not continues. It's actually two pasukim earlier that says v'hibitu Eli, they will gaze towards me es asher dakaru, to about the one who was stabbed. So they're going to be looking at the one who was stabbed, and the Vesaftu Olav, meaning Mashiach ben Yosef, Vesaftu Olav k'misbed al yachad, and they'll make a mourning for him like he mourned for an only child who died. So therefore, yeah, that makes sense if it's Mashiach ben Yosef. Elam under Amal Yetzahara shenerek, but if you're talking about the Yetzahara that was killed, hayah k'eda boi lamev, what is anybody making a hesped? Simcha boi lamev, they should be jumping for joy. Yeah. Amai bachu, so what are they crying? The answer is k'dedarash Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda darshan, that there's a reason to cry about when the Yetzirah is killed. Famous part. La'atid lava, Mabiyah Kadosh Baruch Hu the Yetzirah. In the future, in Mashiach times, the Eibishter will bring the Yetzirah. V'shechte b'fnei tzaddikim u'b'fnei rishayim, and he will shech them in the presence of the tzaddikim and the rishayim. And it's interesting. A few different Sfarim talk about, and it's also the Tolbus Yaakov Yosef brings it from the Baal Shem Tov, and I think it's brought in some other sources as well. That the Aruch HaMer talks about it. That the expression shechtei is very significant. We know that what happens when you shecht an animal, it's not the animal ceases to exist. On the contrary, you're bringing it up. You're extracting the kedusha from it, and the whatever's left, the klipa from it goes. You know, it disappears. So the same thing over here. I mean, there is, you know, we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, I think Gemara was going to mention that the Yetzirah is one of those things that Hashem, so to speak, regrets that he ever created it. Yeah, we'll talk about it on Amud Beis. But, on the other hand, there is, the Shechita of the Yetzirah represents the idea. There is like a core of, you know, there is a nitzitz of Kedusha in it. There was a reason Eibush made it after all, and that will be nifala loss and lava, and then the rest of it, will disappear. Yeah. So tzaddikim nidmalahem kahar gavaya, to the tzaddikim the Yetzirah will appear like a tall mountain. Or rishayim nidmalahem kachod asayra, and to the rishayim the Yetzirah will appear like a little thin hair. Halala boichen v'halala boichen. So now both groups are going to cry. Tzaddikim boichen v'ayim, and the tzaddikim are going to cry and say, Heyach yachonu lichbash, how gavaya kazeh? How could we ever have conquered such a tall mountain? Or Rishayim boichen v'ayim, and the Rishayim cry and say, Heyach lo yachonu lichbash eschot asayra hazeh? How were we not able to conquer this little hair? And of course, Mephoshim say, and I mean, both perspectives in a way are right. As the Gemara is going to say soon, the Yetzirah starts off as a tiny little thing, and then, you know, if you let it go, it grows and grows. So the Tzaddikim, who conquered it before they allowed it to grow big, they see what it would have become if they hadn't. So therefore, they see it as a mountain. And whereas the Rishayim, who could have conquered it when it was still little, they see it as it originally was. Yeah. So everybody's crying. So, the Rishayim, we understand why they're crying. Actually, why indeed are the Tzaddikim crying? So there's a few different Mephoshim that discuss different possibilities. One is Pashtus, they're crying tears of joy, Pashtus, that they overcame this. Another one is they're crying over the hardships that they went through. It was hard conquering that big mountain, or making sure that it didn't become one in the first place. And then there's an interesting thing that the Aruch HaNer says, that the Tzaddikim cry as sort of a defense of the Rishayim. After all, the Rishayim are embarrassed by how could we not have conquered this little hair, but the Tzaddikim cry for them like, you know what, Hashem, you made it very difficult for them. You made a Yetzirah that you yourself regret creating, and we're crying over that. They say you should have Rachmanis on these Rishayim, who didn't manage to withstand it.
In other words, not such big Rishayim because of the...
So to speak, like they're trying to be Malam and Tzchus for them, basically, yeah. And in fact, when at that point, the Eibishter himself, so to speak, is going to be wandering along with them, and how did anybody ever manage with this? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Koyama Hashem Tzvakus ki pole be'enis she'eris ha'amazeh ba'yamim ahem." It's going to be amazing in the eyes of the remainder of these people in those times. Gam be'ena yipole. It will be amazing in my eyes too. Like the Eibishter, so to speak, is also going to say, like, you know, how did these tzaddikim manage it, and vice versa? How did these Rishayim not manage it? Speaking of this, about the Yetzirah growing, Amar Rabasi, Yetzirah betchila doim lechup shal buchya. The Yetzirah starts out like a thread of buchya. So what is buchya? Rashi says that buchya means a spider. like a spider, like a little thin strand of spider silk. There's other the Aruch says the Aruch, I think it is, rather says that Buchia means a weaver's thread. But still, yeah, on the side of it here it says, and I go, it means like the beginning thread that you use when you're weaving. But so not quite as thin as a spider web, maybe, as a spider silk, maybe, but still pretty thin. So something pretty insubstantial. And then it ends up as thick as the rope of a wagon. A tremendously strong, thick rope. Same idea. In other words, you know, you let things go, and then it keeps on growing bigger and bigger. The famous thing that we had back at the end of Yuma, that when a person does an Aveda twice already, then they start feeling as if it's mutter. So. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hoi moshchei ha'oven b'chavay ashav. Woe to those who pull along Averis with the ropes with the ropes of nothingness. And then they pull along their sins with like the ropes of a wagon. So we see, first you're starting off with chavla yashav, the ropes of nothingness, meaning like a spider web or like a weaver's thread, which is, it's a little nothing. You can snap it easily. But then
a little thread of nothing.
Yeah, but then in the end, if you let it go, then it ends up chavoy se'egla. It ends up like a wagon. No, not ha'agola, rather. Chavoy se'agola, like the thick ropes that are used to pull a wagon.
But is this remit se'egla?
Maybe. I don't know. Good question.
Gala chata.
Yeah, ha'agola means a wagon. Well, then maybe there is maybe it is hinting at the eagle also. I don't know. Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa, Mashiach ben David she'osid lehigolis b'mheirav yameinu, amen, Oymalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ebishter is going to tell him, sha'al mimeni dava ve'etna lecha, ask me anything, and I will give it to you. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, asafra el-choyf v'goymer, I will tell the rule that Hashem made for me. This is in Kapitel Beis of Tillim, Lama Rog Shugoyim, which starts off talking about Melchamas Gog and Magog, and then the Ebishter says to the Goyim, who do you think you're starting up with? You know, you got me, and you got Mashiach that I'm setting up over here. So, Ani Ayyavilatikha, the pasuk continues, I gave birth to you this day, which means Rashi says, you know, at this time when Mashiach comes, the Ebishter says, I will demonstrate to the whole world that you're my child. Like this, you know, I mean, it's all along been B'ni B'chor Yisrael, we Jewish people are Hashem's children. In Golos, it's not always so obvious, not even to ourselves sometimes, let alone to the Goyim. At that time, Ani Ayyavilatikha, it'll be obvious to everybody that the Ebishter gave birth to us. So we see that kapitel is talking about Mashiach. And the pasuk continues, Sha'al mimeni, ask from me, ve'et goyim nachlasecha, and I will make the goyim be your inheritance. However, v'kivin shirah Mashiach ben Yosef shenereg, when Mashiach ben David sees, you know what, look, there's Mashiach ben Yosef who got killed. Oyim alafanav, so he says to him, Rebbeinu shalom, eini mevakesh mimcha elachayim. Forget about asking anything else. All I'm asking is that I should live to finish off what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. Oyim aloy, the Ebishter can tell him, chayim. You're asking for life? Ad shalaya marcha, before you even said anything. Kvaris nabe alacha David avicha. Your father David, your ancestor David already said nevuah about you. Shenema, the pasuk says, chayim sha'al mimcha. He asked life from you. Nasat alay, and you gave it to him. So in other words, the Ebishter tells him, you don't even need to ask for that. That already is taken care of. That already is taken care of in advance, yeah.
How come
Very unquestionable. Does not have to be killed.
Well, that's what we just said before. It doesn't have to be killed. But the basic idea is, I mean, we find over and over throughout Jewish history that Yosef comes and prepares the way for Yehuda. In Mitzrayim, for example, you're right. Yosef is the viceroy in Mitzrayim. In order that later on, that Yehuda shalach lefanav, so Yehuda comes and sets up the Beis Medrash. And you know, later in later times in Jewish history, also you have that. So here also, Mashiach ben David has to have a predecessor, and that predecessor is Yosef. Ultimately, also the idea is the famous Tavur of Yechezkel, Tzavtara, Parshas Vayigash, that Yosef, you know, like this, it should have been all along that Yosef and Yehuda work in tandem. Unfortunately, you know, when the Aseret HaShavatim broke off, then, you know, that kind of thing was lost. So the idea is, eventually, they come together again, they become Eitz Echad, then, you know, they become one unified nation again, because there's the Yosef aspect of the Jewish people and there's the Yehuda aspect of the Jewish people, and both of them are important.
Yeah. The USS Aztec is going to fall by the way.
To a certain extent. And the Yehuda aspect, yeah, that could be one way of looking at it, yeah. I mean, there's also the idea we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the Shiva Royim, and then on the other hand, you have Yosef as Bechinas Yisoid. So Yosef and David represent, we know from throughout the Siddur, Yosef represents Yisoid, and David represents Malchus. Yosef then is the culmination of Zah. Yehuda is Malchus. So again, you know, you have the old question, which is more important, Zah or Malchus, right? I mean, on the one hand, Zah is higher than Malchus, but on the other hand, you know, Zah is the six midas from Chesed through Yisoid.
Oh, okay.
Soif Masa Machshava Tchila, in that sense, yeah, Malchus is higher. Working from the bottom up, Malchus is Keser. So each of them has their role, and you know, there's times when we see where Zah is more important than Malchus, and we see there's other times and other places where Malchus is more important than Zah. Yeah. In particular, Moed HaMashiach, we talk about the idea in the Keva to Slave of Gaver that the Malchus, the feminine, will be higher than Zah, the masculine.
And that's like Arizal says that. Why a lot of women have positions of power today because they're supposed to be.
Yeah, the Rebbe talked about that a lot of times. But yeah, since we're coming closer to that time when Keva to Slave of Gover, then we see that in the world at large where women now have, you know, equal rights and the various other things that they didn't have even, you know, even as recently as 100 years ago. Yeah. Daughter Shrub Avira, the Tamer of Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Avira, or some say Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Darshan, Shiva Shemus Yeshla Yetzahara. The Yetzahara has seven names, which each of these names, of course, represents a different aspect of the Yetzahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korei Ra, the Eivishter called the Yetzahara evil one. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Ki Yetzah Leiva Adam Ra Min Urav, the inclination of a person's heart is evil from his youth. Moshe Kara Oral. Moshe calls the Yetzihara the uncircumcised one, the one who's blocked up, who's blocked up from Kedusha. Shenema, the Pasuk says, "Umaltemas Orlo Slavavchem." You should circumcise the Orlo of your heart. What's the Orlo of your heart? The Yetzihara. David Kara Tomei. David called the Yetzihara the Tomeidika one. Shenema, the Pasuk says, "Leiv Tahar B'Ali Elikim." Hashem, create for me a pure heart. We call it the Ikhatami, which implies that the Yetzihara, with the Yetzihara there, there's Tumah. Shlomo Kore Soine, Shlomo called the Yetzihara the enemy. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Im Roiv Soinacha Hachilei Olachem, if your enemy is hungry, feed him with bread. Vim Tzomei Hashkei Umayim, and if he's thirsty, drink, give him water to drink. Ki Gachola Matachos Al Roshe, because you're pouring coals upon his head. Vashem Yishalim Lach, and Hashem will pay you back. What does this pasuk mean in context that we're talking about? In context, I mean, it's talking about that even, you know, you have an enemy still, you know, do good for him, and you know the Eivishter will help that you'll make peace with him. But here we're talking about speaking of the Yetzihara. So Rashi explains what the pasuk is saying is if your enemy is hungry, meaning he has a taiva for something, give him bread. Torah is compared to bread. If he's thirsty, give him water. The Torah is also compared to water. And we know, I mean, there's all the different, you know, the Torah is compared to many different kinds of foods and drinks, and it, you know, talks about in many different places in the Chassidus that each one represents a different effect that the Torah has on a person, or a different part of the Torah. For example, wine represents Pnimiyas HaTorah, etc. So
is also considered Torah.
Yeah. So in Tanya, in Perikei, the Alter Rebbe talks about it at great length how the Torah is mazon, is food for the neshama. The mitzvahs are levushim, and the Torah is mazon, is lachem. So yes, so when we talk about the Yetzihara, then so one angle of it then is that you give the Yetzihara the bread aspect of Torah to nourish your neshama. And then on the other hand, you have sometimes you need the water aspect of Torah, which is the idea that Mayim Yodim Makom Gevurah Lamakom Namuk is the idea of the idea of being honored, of bittul. Yeah. So Hashem Yishalom Lach, and Hashem will pay you back. So Al Tikri Yishalom Lach. Don't read that Hashem will pay you back. Ela Yashli Menu Lach, but rather that Hashem will make him at peace with you. No, at peace. Yeah, Meloshen Shalom. that your Yetzirah will be at peace with you, and he'll love you. He won't convince you to do Averis, and to lose the world. This is, you know, the kind of thing where the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, where a tzaddik gomer is able to take his Yetzirah and turn it into another Yetzirah. That's the ultimate kind of thing we're talking about, yeah. Yeshaya korem michshel. Yeshaya called the Yetzirah michshel, a stumbling block. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Soilu, soilu, lift up, panu dorech, clear the way." Harim, this is the first, pasuk of that third of Yom Kippur. Harimu michshel mederech ami, take away the stumbling block from the path of my people. Yeah. Yechezkel kore oven. Yechezkel called the Yetzirah a stone. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Vasirois yesleva evan mipsarchem." The Eibusha says, "I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh." But nasati lachem leiz baser, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. In other words, that'll be receptive to elikus. A stone is doimim. Stone is you know, doesn't absorb. It's unfeeling. Yeah. There's a famous verse. This was actually after a parshas parah. Yes.
Remember, we've not made it. One reason we made it is group called Brussels because it's baser leiv.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. I did once see an interesting idea that somebody said that actually that the Eibishter gave us a heart of stone while we're in Golos is after all a bracha, because with a heart of flesh we never would have been able to withstand the troubles of Golos. Like this, we're less sensitive to them than we otherwise would be, and that allows us to keep on going. Yeah, but eventually in Mashiach's time we don't need that. Yoyo kore tzfoini. Yoyo called the Yetzirah tzfoini, which has two meanings. It means the northern one, and it means the hidden one. Shenema v'atzat tzfoini, arkek me'aleichem. Yoyo says, in his nevuah, I will remove the tzfoini from you. This is, yeah, in Safun, in one of the sichas, that in one of the sichas in back in the back of the fat Haggadah, the short thing that one time one of the Rebbeim, I think it was the Friedrich Rebbe, once asked his father, why do we call it Safun? He said, because we hide it. So we don't hide it, and we don't have to call it Safun. He says, because really what it represents, the hiding the Afrikaim and then finding and eating it, represents this aspect of the Yetzirah, the Tzoini aspect that we need to overcome.
We really have to look and search for it.
Yeah.
Even if we don't think it's there, it is there.
That's what we're saying, that's called Tzoini, because it's hidden. Not always as a person, the famous verse, Hayom Yom, that not always, you know, as one of the Rebbeim said, I think, one of the Rebbeim said that, you know, up until I heard a certain teaching, I never even realized there could be a Frum Yetzirah, let alone a Chassidish Yetzirah. So, yeah, you know. There's an interesting thing I once saw in the Sefer Dvar Yom B'Yomoi. You know how on Yom Kippur night there's a famous piyut that we say Kihine Kachoy Mebiyada Yotzer, and we go through all the different metaphors with the word Eibishter's handiwork. So in Sefer Dvar Yom B'Yomi has a very interesting explanation. There's seven stanzas in that piyut, and one of the explanations he gives is that each of those stanzas represents one aspect of the Yetzirah that we're dealing with over here. So in each of those stanzas, we're asking Hashem to help us with that aspect of the Yetzirah.
What do we say at the end of?
We just say in the middle of Slichas on Yom Kippur night.
Yeah.
Tana Rabbanan, since we mentioned this pasuk, the Gemara explains the details of it. Now the whole pasuk goes like this: V'esat tzfoni arachik me'aleichem, I will remove the tzfoni from you. V'hidachtiv el eretz tzio shvama, and I'll push him away to a barren and desolate land. Espanav al yama kadmoni, its face towards the eastern sea. V'sof al yama achron, and the end of it towards the back, meaning the western sea. It stinks and its bad smell will come up. Kihigdalas says because done great things. Now, in context, the pasuk over there in Yoel is talking about the first two parakim of Sefer Yoel from the Cheriyasa describe a plague of locusts that attacked Eretz Yisrael. When this was exactly, there's many different opinions among the Mefarshim and Midrashim when exactly Yoel lived. It was sometime in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, anyway. So the simple meaning that Mefarshim say on the pasuk is that the Navi is telling the people that after all, this plague of locusts, the tzfoni, will be removed, will die off. It's such a huge swarm that it'll reach from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other. So when they're dead, you know, you're going to have the whole Eretz Yisrael is going to be covered with dead locusts. And Vatal Basha, Vatal Tachanot, and you have this tremendous stink in the land. Because, you know, look how much they accomplished, look how much destruction they caused. But the Gemara is explaining it over here. That's not just talking about the locusts, you know, that's something 3,000 years ago in history. We don't need to know that for all time. It means the Yetzirah. So, This is the Yetzirah that is hidden in a person's heart. Again, like we just said, a person doesn't always realize when the Yetzirah is, When the pasuk says, I will banish him to a desolate and to a barren and desolate land, means the makom shen ben adam, it means to a place where there's no people for the Yetzirah to harass. Why does the Yetzirah deserve such a punishment? Because his face was towards the front sea, meaning that the Yetzirah put its eyes against the first Beis Hamikdash. The Yetzirah, in other words, convinced people to do Averis, which resulted in the Churban, so it caused the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, and caused the Tamid Chachamim there to be killed, which therefore the Beis Hamikdash is, Rashi says the Beis Hamikdash is compared to a yam, is compared to a sea, because everybody gathers there, like all the rivers flow towards the sea, the same way you had rivers of people coming towards the sea. Coming towards the Beit Mikdash. And the other idea, what we're saying about the Tamid Chachamim, because the Tamid Chachamim also, they're full of Torah, like the sea is full of water. So the Yetzirah caused the Beit Mikdash and all those Tamid Chachamim to be killed and destroyed.
It was full of Torah, they couldn't stop the Beit
Mikdash. Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's it, because they had to have a desire to give out eyes, etc. I mean, there's also the idea that they should have Berachah B'Torah Tefillah, that's a whole other matter, yeah. The Sofer of the Yom HaAchron, and then when it says its end was towards the last, was towards the last sea, so that means Shenosan Enu Mikdash Sheni. It means the same thing. The Yetzirah cast its eyes against the second Beis Hamikdash, Ve'achriva, and caused it to be destroyed because of Sin Aschinim, as we know. Baharu Tamid Chachamim Shabayin, it caused the Tamid Chachamim in it to be killed. So therefore, because of this Yama Kadmoni and the Yama Achron, because of what the Yetzirah brought about the Churban of the true Beis Hamikdash, therefore it deserves this punishment of being dacht of a letter to Shmama, to be kicked out of society.
The Yama Kadmoni and Yama Acharon have any geographical...
Yes, and the simple geographical meaning of it is Yama Kadmoni means either the Kinneret or the Yama Melech, which are to the east of Eretz Yisrael, and Yama Acharon means the Mediterranean, which is to the west, yeah. But then the pasuk continues, V'ala Basha V'tal Tzachanot, so its stink will come up, and its bad odor will come up. What does that mean? What's the odor of the Yetzirah? Shamaniach, umas olam, umas garbis, and en shay Yisrael. It means that the Yetzirah ignores the goyim and goes and harasses soneim shay Yisrael, which is a euphemism meaning the Jewish people themselves. Ki higdilasos, and then when the pasuk finishes off, because it accomplished great things. What does that mean? Amar Abaye, it means that Tamid Chachamim yosim mikolam. It means that the Yetzirah attacks Tamid Chachamim most of all. Where do we see an example of that? Kihod, Abaya Shami Lahu Gavra, for example, we have the story. Abaya one time heard a certain person, this man was saying to a certain woman, they're not related, Nikdim Venezel Barucha, let's get up early and go together, and go together on the road. Omar, so Abaya said, Ezel Ifushin Meisur, I better follow them and keep them away from doing any kind of Isser. Also Basraya, Tlosa Parsi Ba'agma, so he walked behind them, I guess without not necessarily making them aware that he's there, but whatever, three parsa walking through the field, which is quite a distance. Yeah. It's about 8 miles. Then when eventually they came to a crossroads, he has to go in one direction, she has to go in another. Shaminu Duka Amri, so he overheard them saying, Urchen Mechika, our way is very long, but our company was very pleasant. In other words, so Rashi says it means, in other words, look, you know, I live over here, you live over there. It's too far apart for one of us to go and accompany the other to their town and then go to and then go to their own. It's too far out of the way. If not, then it would have been nice to be able to still have the company. And Marsha says slightly differently. He says that they were saying to each other, like, you know, it was a long way all this time, but at least, you know, it was nice company all this time. And the point is, nothing happened. The point is, even though they enjoyed each other's company, everything was kosher. Amar Abaya says to himself, Iman de Soni li hava, if this had been the person that I hate, which is, again, a euphemism, meaning if I had been in this situation, loy hava motzi l'ukme napshe, I wouldn't have been able to hold myself back. If I had been this guy, Pashta Yidin, Pashta Yidin, we don't even know their names, they were able to hold themselves back from an avera, where, you know, they didn't know anybody's following them, and they're walking miles together, three parsa. And Abaya is saying to himself, I wouldn't have been able to withstand that kind of temptation.
But was it because of Gazlanim, or...?
Maybe because of Gazlanim, maybe just whatever.
Was it also the fact that he followed them wasn't a protection of them? Maybe it was the...
No, but the hash is not. Yeah, they didn't realize, yeah.
But it is
yichud, yeah. I don't know if it's considered yichud if it's out in the open field, but okay, maybe that's a different issue. Anyway, also tola nafshe bi'ibura d'dasha, so Abaya went and leaned against the bolt of the door, umitztar, and he was feeling bad for himself. You know, how could I, not how could I suspect, if I cared, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to withstand such a situation. Obviously, I haven't, you know, obviously I still have a very powerful Yetzirah. What am I going to do about that? Also, so a certain old person came, Tanale, and he told him the following teaching. Kol ha-godom, a famous expression, kol ha-godom e-chaveri, the greater a person is than somebody else, yitzre gadol ha-menu, the greater his Yetzirah is. So the old man is telling Abaya, don't feel so bad. Yes, you have a more powerful Yetzirah than that Parshat Yid because you're a greater person. So that's what we just said. The Yetzirah, the greater a person is, the more the Yetzirah tries to get him because it's a bigger prize, basically.
And who was this old man?
So who was this old man? So Tosfos talks about in Chulin the possibility that it was actually Eliyahu Hanavi. That whenever the Gemara says Ahu Sava means Eliyahu Hanavi. Tosfos themselves though says not necessarily because we do find some other places where Ahu Sava seems to be used not quite in a positive sense. But whatever it is, so either it was Eliyahu Hanavi or it was an old Tamil Chacham.
They call the
That's a different thing. Yeah, no, the pastor's not. The person's Yetzirah becomes powerful over him every day. And then on the side of it here, it says that actually in Kedushin, where this Gemara is also brought, it uses a slightly different expression, mischadesh olav b'chol yom, it renews itself every day. Like every day, a person has a new type. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, rak halayim, only evil all day. I mean, every from day to day, it becomes worse and worse.
And the
Sefer Tevis
is Aramolik.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Rak Halayim, very good. Thank you.
What's that?
The Sefer Tevis of the four words Rak Halayim, Aramolik. Amr Rav Shimon Lakish, similar thing. Yitzir Shal Adam is Gabriel Olav B'chol Yom. The heart of a person is overpowers him every day. Umavakish La'amisa and tries to kill him. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Sefer Rosh Al Tzadik Umavakish La'amisa. The Rosh looks out for the Tzadik and as the Pasuk can tell him, yeah, Umavakish La'amisa. He tries to kill him. And if it were not for the fact that Hashem helped the person, Yitaka wouldn't be able to withstand him. The next pasuk continues and tell him, Hashem will not leave the tzaddik in the hands of the Rasha, and he won't make him guilty when he judges him. Rav Rebbe quotes this entire Yud Gimel of Tanya and explains, we're talking over here about a Beinoni. That has, you know, he has a nefesh of Bahamas. He has a Yetzirah that's constantly at him to do averus. Every time the Yetzirah speaks up, the Yetzirah speaks up in return and says, you know, I'm not gonna do that. But after all, you need as our Gemara is saying, you still need Hashem's help. What's the help? The Alter Rebbe says is that the Eibishter gives extra power to the nefesh elikis for the person to remind himself, you know what, moyach shalat al alev. The nefesh elikis is in the moyach. The nefesh of Bahamas is in the lev. Naturally, moyach shalat al alev. I'm going to use that natural inclination of mine to keep the Yetzirah, to keep my Yetzirah in check and not allowed to do anything. Tanad of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the bright in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, in Poga B'chom and Nuvel there, if this disgusting one, the Yetzirah, meets up with you, Moshcheu LeBeis HaMedrash, schlep him to the Beis HaMedrash. Im Evan Hu, if the Yetzirah is like a stone, like we said before, Nimayach, then the power of learning in the Beis HaMedrash will melt it. Im Barzel Hu, and if it's like iron, mispites it, then it will explode. Im Evan, the Yetzirah.
The yeshiva will make him.
The learning in it.
The learning, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, obviously we're not talking about going to the Besmedrash to shoot the bull. No. You know, yeah. Where do we see that if the Yetzirah is like a stone, that the power of learning Torah will make it melt away? Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Hey, everybody who's thirsty, come to the water. Uchtiv, which is Torah. Uchtiv, and it says, Avonim, Shachogomayim, stones are worn away by water, like the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. So the water of the Torah can wear away the stone of the Yetzirah. In Barzal misspoke it, and if it's like iron, it'll explode. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, "Aloi poi dvarei ka'eshnu Hashem." Aren't my words like fire? Says Hashem. Ukapati she poitzetzela, and like a hammer that shatters a rock. The Torah just has a long discussion beginning on Amud Aleph. So what is it? If the hammer, you're saying that if
stone,
is it the stone that shatters, or is it the what are we talking about? It seems like the pasuk is saying that the hammer shatters the stone. So in that case, the hammer is still intact. So Torah just brings a couple of possibilities that it could be we're talking about the sparks that get struck off the the hammer when you're striking the stone, and in that sense you can say like the hammer itself is exploding, or there's another actually
the hammer is the Torah, isn't it?
No, that's in this metaphor we're saying that the Yetzirah is like iron. But so actually the Tosis brings an interesting thing that there are certain kinds of stones, sapphire for example, which actually are harder than iron. So yes, Tosis brings from a medrash that one time a guy wanted to take a piece of sapphire and break it in two. The hammer and the anvil broke and the sapphire stayed intact. So we see that there can be a kind of stone that actually breaks a hammer. That's the kind of the stone of the Torah. Then in this metaphor, the sapphire of the Torah breaks the iron of the Yetzirah. Amar Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Yenison. Yetzahara mesisei la'adam ba'olam hazeh. The Yetzahara convinces a person to do avedus in this world. Who made all of the olam haba, and then the same Yetzahara goes and testifies against him in olam haba. The Gemara in Bava Basra says something similar, and actually even more. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that this is the one entity, one being that has three different jobs. The Yetzahara, who Satan, who Yetzahara, who Malach HaMavet. As the Yetzahara. He convinces people to do bad. As the Satan, he goes and accuses the person to the Eibishter. And as the Malach HaMavet, he carries out the punishment.
Very industrious,
criminal.
Yeah.
So he's the cause and the and the and
the,
not the judge. The Eibishter is the judge. Chas v'shalom. But he's the tempter, the prosecutor, and the executioner. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant.
Shenema, as the pasuk says, Mefanek minoyer avdoi, someone who spoils his slave from his youth, meaning the Yetzirah, which by right should be a person's slave. What's going to happen? V'achrisa yiyem monoin. The end of it will be monoin. Well, what is monoin? Shekein ba'atbach sharabchia koin l'sahadar monoin. In the atbach of Rabchia, like, I'll tell you in a second, that sahada translates to monoin. What is Atbach? Basically, Atbach, we know there's a number of different kinds of codes that you can use with the Aleph-Bays. Atbach is the most famous. Atbach is basically you take the letters that represent the units from 1 to 9, Aleph to Tes, and pair them up into pairs that add up to 10. So Aleph goes with Tes, Bays goes with Ches, Gimel with Zion, Dalet with Vav, and Hey is left over. You do the same thing with the tens. Yud goes with Tzadik, Chof goes with Pei, etc. Then you do the same thing with the hundreds. So Rashi over here says that you do it in, that you, besides the four letters from Kuf to Tav, you also have the end of letters, Langa Chaf, Shlossman, Langa Nun, etc., which represent also the numbers from 500 to 900. So therefore, you have them in the same way. Kuf goes together with Langa Tzadik, etc. Or there's other Rishonim. And the Marshal and Marshal talk about the possibility that not necessarily maybe actually what you do for the hundreds is you just do Kuf with Tav and Resh with Shin, and you ignore the end of letters. Anyway, so either way, the point is then over here, so out of the word monoin, so the mem changes into a samach, because mem and samach together equal 100. The nun change. With the tens, I forgot to mention then, so you end up with nun, because nun doesn't pair up with anything else, and therefore, what you do is the last pair, hey and nun, can interchange with each other. Or if you use the end of letters, then hey, nun, and langachof, which are 5, 50, and 500, can all interchange. A famous word they say on this, that when Bilam says about the Jewish people, hen om levadad yishkain, why did he pick the word hen? Because in this atbach, hey and nun are the only two letters that don't pair up with anything else. So therefore he's saying the Jewish people are like the letters hey and nun, that they don't intermingle with anybody else. Anyway, so again, mem becomes samach, nun becomes hey, for the reason we just mentioned, dalet becomes vav, and the nun again becomes a hey. So the word monoin comes out. So the word sahada, which comes from the word, which is the Aramaic word for So the word sahada means testimony.
Right.
So we see that the Yetzirah testifies against the person. Rav Huna Rami, the Gemara says, Rav Huna pointed out a contradiction between Sukkim. K'siv ki ruach zunim hisa. one pasuk says that a spirit of wandering led them astray, which implies it was like an accident. They went off the path by mistake. Uchtiv, but then the pasuk says b'kubam, but then it says that it was inside them. So what is it? Is it inside them, or is it just leading them astray? But chila hisam, the Yetzer Hara starts out leading a person astray from the outside, like all of a sudden b'kubam, and if a person allows it to keep up, and it ends up within him.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, and that's actually, that was the original Chetei Tadas, is originally the Yetzer Hara is outside them, that's why it's represented by the Nachash, and later on, after the Eitzim, the Chetei Tadas, then they have the Yetzer Hara within them. A similar thing, Amar Rava, B'tchila Karei Helach, originally the Yetzer Hara is called Helach, which means a wanderer, or B'Soif Karei Oirach, then it's called a guest, like somebody who's staying in your house for a while, or B'Soif Karei Ish, and eventually the Pasuk calls him a man, meaning the Balabas. From a stranger, he becomes a Shenema, as the pasuk says. This is in the famous story with David and Bathsheba. So Nathan Anavi comes to David to give him Musar. So he tells him, he starts off with a marshal. He tells him that there was a rich guy who had everything, and his next door neighbor is a poor man who only has one sheep. A wayfarer or a halach comes to visit the rich man, and the rich man decides, I need to make him a nice meal. So he goes, and then instead of taking one of his own sheep, he goes and takes the poor guy's sheep and shechts it for the guest. So David knew what would you say about such case, and David gets very upset. You know, how you talking? The guy deserves every punishment that he, and Nathan tells him, you're in the same situation. After Ha'ish, this was a marshal about you and Uriah. About him. We talked about that a lot in Shabbos. Anyway, so Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayyava helach leisha asher," a wayfarer, meaning a wanderer, came to the rich person. "Vayachma lachachas mitzonir of kare lasses mum kare lasses la'orach." He had too much pity to take from his own sheep or his own cattle to make for the guest. So we see already he went from a helach to being a guest. And then in Pasuk continues, he took the sheep of the poor man, and he made it for the man, meaning like now this wayfarer has now become the Balabas who came to him. So we see the same idea that Nathan is telling David that you allowed the Yetzer Hara to become the master of your domain where Amar Rav Yochanan, Eva Katan Yeshlei La'adam, a person has a small organ, Mar Ivay Savea, where if he satisfies it. If he makes it hungry, saveya, then he will feel full. Masbiya yirav, and if he tries to satisfy it, then he'll feel hungry. What is this eva cotton? So Rashi says the gid, the male organ. I think there are other mepharshim actually who say it means the stomach. But whatever it is, it's a famous thing. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin also in connection with the story of David. So the point is, so Rashi says over here it means like this. Masbiya, if a person satisfies himself with tashmish, then later on in life, roiv, he's hungry because he loses his strength. But Amar writes in Hilchos Deis that a person who's too involved in tashmish ends up getting weak when he gets older. Whereas Mariva, if he makes it hungry, if he controls himself when he's younger, saveya, then he'll be hale and hearty in old age. Tosfos quotes over here that actually the Gemara and Sanhedrin takes it a little bit differently. That it means that if a person tries to satisfy his taiva for tashmish by having a lot of it, basically, he's just going to keep on. It's just going to keep on increasing his taiva more and more. So masbiya, he tries to satisfy it, but rive, and it'll feel all the hungrier. Whereas mariva, saveya, if a person controls himself, then he feels satisfied. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Kamar isam vayisbov gomer." According to their pasture, they became satisfied. Kamar isam is also a lashon ra, like of a person who seemingly does bad to himself by controlling himself. Vayisbov, he ends up feeling satisfied. Omer of Chana bar Acha, Amri be Rav. They say in the yeshiva of Rav, "Arba mischaret aleim akadosh baruch hu shebram." There are four things that the Ebishter regrets that he created them. The Elohein, Golus, Kastim, V'Yishva'elim, V'Yetzahara. The Kastim is the nation that Nebuchadnezzar came from that destroyed the first place of Mekdash. Yishva'elim we know, and the Yetzahara. Golus, where do we see that the Eishter regrets having created Golus? The Pasuk says, V'Ata mali po'in u'm Hashem. Now what am I doing here, says Hashem? Ki lukach ami chinam, because my people have been taken away into Golus for nothing. But the Eishter is, so to speak, saying, like, what am I doing over here? Like, why did I even bother doing this? cast him. Where do we see that the Eibishter regrets
it?
He regrets it, yeah. Cast him, Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Hein Eretz Kastim Zeha Am Lo Haya. This land of Kastim, this nation that never was. Meaning, Rashi says, like, not it never was. There was a nation of Kastim, but like Halavai, there had never been such a nation.
Well,
from Ur Kastim, right. Avram himself is not a Kasti, though, but
well,
yes.
Kastim,
yes.
The
Kastim then is the Bavli, the Mechanetzos people.
Kalmanir.
Yes. Yishma'elim, Dichtiv, Yishloyu Oyalim Lashoydadim. The Yishma'elim specifically meaning over here, specifically over here it means like the Bedouins, but yeah. The tents are peaceful for the robbers. Uvtuchos lamagdizei keil, and they're secure for those who make the Eibishter angry. Laasher hevi alikaviyadai, those who the Eibishter brought with his own hand. Meaning, we're talking about, and again, these Bedouins, like these people who live in the desert and rob anybody who comes by. Laasher hevi alikaviyadai, the Eibishter brought it about with his own hand, again, meaning like we're saying, the Eibishter himself, you know, there wouldn't be such a thing if the Eibishter hadn't created it, and so to speak, the Pasuk is implying, the Eibishter wishes he hadn't, so to speak.
Those are the descendants of
the child? And Yetzer Hara, the Sivasher Hare Oisi. The Pasuk says, the earlier part of the Pasuk is saying that Hashem says, I'll gather together all the lame and all the ones who are spread far apart, etc. Vasher Hare Oisi, and the ones who I did bad to, meaning why are all these people, why are there so many lame people and spread apart people, why is there so much suffering in the world? Because I did bad by creating a Yetzer Hara.
Since Galus and Ishmaelim come together and possibly a connection between
Ishmaelim
and Galus?
Well, actually, the Rebbe once talked about the idea that specifically over here, Kastim is the first Galus,
right.
The Galus Bavel. Yishmaelim is one major part of our last Galus. There are actually some of the Rishonim, notably Reb Sadia Gaon, who says that the fourth of the four Malchus is the Ishmaelim. He says the Greeks and Romans combined together as the third, and Ishmael is the fourth. Most other Rishonim disagree with that, but still, you know, the Ishmaelim, there's no question, are a major part of the fourth Galus. So yeah, so therefore we're talking the beginning and the end, yeah. Yeah, the Rebbe also talked about in the Sicha, the idea that what we're saying about each of these things, when we're saying that the Eibishter regrets ever creating them, is the idea. Like we said before, you know, each one of them does have a spark of, you know, it does have a nitzitz of kedusha in it. But like the Eibishter, so to speak, regrets that each of them was used in the wrong way, basically. Aside from that nitzitz of kedusha in them, they have no mitzvahs, which therefore they never talked about in the Sicha. So a person has to realize that Golos has no real mitzvahs. That, you know, we need to get out of Golos, but we don't need to be scared by the fact that there's a Golos around us. Ultimately, Golos has no independent Messias. The Eibishter himself regrets that he created it. And similarly, as far as the Kastim and the Ishmaelim, that we need to be able to stand up to them and be able to tell them, you know, that the Birtzon and Nothna Lanu, like Rashi says in the first Rashi
and Bereshit. The reason why David the Melech had to come from.
So Moya was not one of the things they should regret creating.
Yeah, but the tactic
came from this position. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shalosh Mekroiz Halalu, if it were not for the following three sukim, Nismot Tziragleyem Shosenein Shal Yisrael, then the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, again meaning a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, would stumble. In other words, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on if it weren't for these three sukim, where the Eibishter implies that after all, that the Yetzirah, it's true, you know, on the one hand, we have the Chira, we're supposed to conquer it, but with these three sukim that we're going to quote now, the Eibishter implies that after all, you know, he put us in this situation in the first place. One is Chad Dichtiv Asher Arayoisi, one is the pasuk we just quoted, the Eibishter says, I did bad by creating the Yetzirah. Just like the clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, which goes to show, in other words, that ultimately we're in control of the Eibishter.
We are in control of it.
In other words, even though on the one hand we have the Chira, but on the other hand, like the Eibishter still controls things, he could have made it. That we don't have to be so susceptible to the Yetzer Hara. So in that sense, like that, the point is, we're saying with these three psukim, it gives us a bit of a, like we said on Amar Aleph, it gives us a little bit of a limud schus. That yes, you know, maybe some of us ended up with a Yetzer Hara the size of a mountain because we didn't control it when it was a hair. But after all, the Eibishter is saying in these three psukim, in a way, it's kind of my fault. V'idach, and the third one is it says v'hasirayis yes leiva ebne b'tzachem. Like we said before, I'll remove the stone heart from your flesh. V'nasati lachem leiv basar, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. So we see again the Eibishter is saying that I have the power to remove your yetzahara. Rapapa says, I have another pasuk that also proves this point. The next pasuk after that, v'esruchi etin v'kibuchem. The Eibishter says, I will place my spirit within you. Again, showing that the Eibishter has ultimate control of these things. A pasuk in Tzachariah says, this is the Pashas will bring this over here, maybe in connection with what we talked on Amud Aleph, the pasuk from Tzachariah about Mashiach, and also because the Gemara is soon going to bring over here about a couple of these psukim that refer to Mashiach. The pasuk says, "Vayareini Hashem abar charoshim." Hashem showed me four smiths, four craftsmen. Man nino abar charoshim. Who are these four craftsmen? Amar of Chana bar Bizna, Amar of Shimon Chasida, they are Mashiach ben David, or Mashiach ben Yosef, the Eliyahu, the Kohen Tzedek. Who is Kohen Tzedek? Rashi says it's Shem, the son of Noach. All four of these people are involved in building. The two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, are involved in building the Bais Mikdash. Eliyahu built the famous Mizbeach on Har HaKarmel, and Shem helped his father build the Teva. So each of them, their main accomplishment is some kind of building. Must of Rav Shesha. So Rav Shesha asks on that, Ihachi, if so, Hainu Dukhtiv, what do you mean? The Pasuk says, Vayomer Eli, the Eivishta says, the Navi says, that the Eivishta, the Malach told me, Eila HaKronesh Asher Zeru Atzroda. These are the horns that scattered the Jewish people. Which means, in other words, we're talking about the Charoshim, that it sounds like means the nations, the Dalad Malchias. So Hani L'Shuvah also. Aren't these four people, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, so are they coming to restore the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, not to scatter them?
So what do we say they're scattering them?
That's because the psukim go like this. The Navi says, this is Chavya, he says, Vayareini Hashem abar charoshim, the Eibishter showed me these four craftsmen. I asked the Malach, what are they? What are they coming to do? And he tells me, Eila hakronos asher zeru es Yehuda, these are the horns, the powers that scattered Yehuda. So it sounds like, forget it, it sounds like the four charoshim represent the four empires that subjugated and scattered the Jewish people. Amalei, so Rav Chana tells him, Shafel l'sefer dekra. You have to look at the end of the pasuk. The pasuk continues, Vayavayu eva. These guys, the craftsmen, came lahachrid oisam to terrify them, the goyim. L'yadeh says, Karnas ha-goyim, to throw down the horns, the power of the goyim. Hanoisim karen al Eretz Yehuda, who are raising up their horn, who are raising up their power against Eretz Yehuda, l'zoroisa, to scatter it. In other words, if you look at the whole pasuk, what the pasuk is saying is, so he's seeing the four craftsmen. What happens? Eretz tells him, you have these four horns, the four powerful Goyish empires that are trying to come and scatter the Jewish people, and these four Harashim are going to come and overthrow them.
Good.
So they are the good guys. Amalei, so Rav Shesha says, you know what, why am I bothering to argue against Chana when it comes to Agata, against Rav Chana when it comes to Agata? Obviously he knows a lot more than I do. Then the Pasuk says, another Pasuk in Tzachariah, this isn't in Tzachariah, this is in Micha, rather. V'chaya zesh shalom, this will be the ultimate peace. Ashur ki yaveh be'atzenu, if Ashur tries to come into our land, v'chiyidrech v'amenetzenu, if he tries to set foot in our palaces, v'hekamnu olav shiva royim u'shmoinen sichai adam. This famous Pasuk. So we will set up against him seven shepherds and eight princes of people. So, Maninu Shiva Royim, who are the seven shepherds, David Ba'emza, David is the center one, Adam Sheis Umsashalach Miyaminoi, Avram, Yaakov, Moshe Bismoloi. They are the seven Royim. So Rashi says, I don't know, Davka, why these are the seven Royim out of everybody else. Rashi says, in particular, Rashi says, why is Yitzchak missing? Because we find there's a Medrash that says that Yitzchak has a different job. His job is to save the Jewish people from Gehenna. But in Hasidus, in many places, it talks about the Shiva Royim and the Shmona Nesicha Bnei Adam. The idea being, the Shiva Royim are, each of them is a Roya, each of them is a shepherd that brings down one of the seven spheres, one of the seven midas to the Jewish people. Moshe, David is Malchus, Moshe is Hoyd, etc. And Umaninu Shmoin Nesiche Adam, who are the eight princes of people? Adam, Yishai, Vishol, or Shmuel, Amos, or Tanya, Tzidkia, or on the side here it says instead of Tzidkia, maybe Chizkia, or Mashiach, Eliyahu. So there's a Maimer in Torah Ur, one of the Maimerim for Chanukah, Torah Ban and Mitzvahs near Chanukah, where the Alter Rebbe explains like this. The Shiva Royim, their job is to bring down a lacus to us. The problem is that the problem is, as we know, whenever you have a hashpa milamayla, there's always the possibility that the chitzonim are going to have a yinika from it, that the klippas are going to latch onto it and feed off it. Therefore, you need the shmoyna nesicha adam. 8 is higher, so 8 is makif over the 7. The makif, the ur makif mesame ene achitzonim, a light of makif, blinds the eyes of the chitzonim. So therefore, you need the nesicha adam is a higher level of makif, which therefore protects that that therefore what we get from the shiva rayim goes where it's supposed to go and doesn't end up being taken off by the klippas. And that's why that the connection of it is that the Alter Rebbe explains over there. This is why the Neir Chanukah are for 8 days after, because it's representing the Shemoneh Nesichei Adam.
Sorry, during Galus and when Mashiach comes.
Yes. So even now we have the Shiva Rayim and we have the Shemoneh Nesichei Adam. Yeah.
What was the thing that the Gemara said? What was it?